Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. As you know, the show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org. And you are listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions so that you can actually start understanding why we're in this position we're in, how we got here, and the historical context. This is why we actually go through all of these different documents. Now, yesterday I was looking for, and I never got back to this, but I don't like throwing it out there and not giving it to you. I talked about all 13 states that actually had a state-sponsored church. And so I'm going to go through them, and I'm going to actually go through the time frame where the state actually clung to the church. In other words, it had these ties and our relationships and severed those ties when? Well, most people think, they had state-sponsored churches, but they got rid of them shortly after the Constitution. Au contraire. That is the farthest thing from the truth. And so before I get into those, let me finish these obligatories. And so our comment line, 425-270-5416. And we are going to be diving into the petitions. What we'll probably do is we'll probably go into, like I said, as I mentioned yesterday, we're going to go into some content following the historical timeline of the Assumption Act and all of these different things that kind of occurred before we get into the resolutions. And then before we do the resolutions, we'll actually talk about these petitions. What I'm trying to do is I actually need to have a conversation with NLA leadership and letting them kind of, you know, get aware of and what has to happen, or hopefully the support that we need, because the real reason why is if you start petitioning the government to comply to the Constitution, that becomes, you know, like the tank killer. It becomes that thing that penetrates the shell. It becomes the tip of the spear in opening behind it the bigger question: what else is unconstitutional that's occurring? It forces the audit, and it really pushes us down this path of Republic Review. Because when people all of a sudden realize, the Department of Transportation is unconstitutional. Well, if that's the case, then what other departments are unconstitutional? See my point. As we start identifying what is unconstitutional, it begs the question, and the second nature reaction that we have to have, that response, that immediate response needs to be, we need to do a full audit. We need to audit not just the powers that are being executed, but we need to audit the laws that have been created. Some of these things that have been done, such as marriage, such as life, and so forth. So this is why this is all so important. And so what we want to do is help you so that you can do the language. Now, there was no intent in the Bill of Rights that you had to speak a certain way, but it's best that you articulate a good argument so you're clear, succinct, concise, and to the point, so that people understand what the problem is, what grievances you're trying to get resolved, so that that can be addressed, because communications is important. I mean, I'm not the world's best communicator, but I do know it's important. And I do know that if you want to get an answer, you have to ask the question. You have to frame the question, and you have to make it so that that person understands what the question is. Anywho, we would also like to ask you to actually look at, you know, helping us support a listener drive. We need to get this information out. If it doesn't become a movement until you get behind it. And it really is the only process, it being Republic Review, this movement, it's the only process that is really the solution. If you're going to sign up with an organization that is myopic, I'll give you a good example. Go to any, because I've yet to find an abortion organization that is willing to go to the grand scheme of what the real problem is. Sure, abortion is wrong, but it's not just wrong, it's unconstitutional for the federal government to mandate and protect it, for them to take taxes and spend on it. They have zero jurisdiction over it. So if you really want to end the federal government's involvement in funding abortion around the world as well as here, and you want to save those lives, then you have to get with Republic Review, because you have to attack it not from this is immoral, but this is unconstitutional. They have no business doing this. This is what wins the argument. If you're going to fight, because there's no court. There is no moral court. I'm sorry. I wish that we had morality, and I wish that everybody, you know, had the same morals like we had at the framing. But bottom line is, it's about jurisdiction, not about morals. This is why they've made the Constitution the way they did, to protect us morally. Anyway, as you know, we're also fighting the evil dark lords of Satan, the globalists. These guys are literally working to subjugate us. There's no other way to put this. I'm not a preacher, and I'm not trying to preach any philosophy. As a matter of fact, I really don't care what your religious faith is. I'm Christian, and if you're Christian, that's great. But you have to, if you're going to stand shoulder to shoulder with and be involved in this movement, you have to support individual liberty and individual sovereignty so that people can choose for themselves what they're going to do, whether they accept Christ or not. Okay, so we have to keep in mind who we're fighting, because I'm telling you, when Satan and his league of henchmen take over, they're not going to tolerate your ability to worship Christ or those types of things. You will bow to him, or at least that's what he will expect. And their tolerance is nothing. And, well, what I mean by nothing is that they, you know, either you comply or you're dead, because life means nothing to them. We have way too many people alive. They want to get us down to 500 million. So if you really look at, you know, all of those people who believe in religion of any type of theology, Muslims, it's a couple billion, right? Buddhists, a couple billion, a few. I think the Muslims and the Buddhists, that's probably the top. It's the same thing with, China has moved away from and created their own faith, the communist faith, just like Hitler. But my point is, if you only want 500 million people, because the Georgia Guidestones, if you read the Georgia Guidestones, that's what they declare is the appropriate population for Earth. So they want to kill everybody. And those who are left will be drinking the Kool-Aid. At least that's what their plan is. And they have no compunction. They have no feelings about killing people. It's an end, or the ends justify the means. So anyway, we appreciate you tuning in. I probably haven't said that in a long time. And I appreciate your patience with me as I'm going through these health struggles that I'm going through. And the reason why I'm telling you, because anybody that sees any videos of me in the near future, you're going to see an oxygen tube. And one of the things that I found out is as I talk and I breathe through my mouth, I'm not getting any oxygen into my head through this tube. And so it's easy to kind of get lost or get, you know, your mind, without oxygen, your mind doesn't function, you know, really sharply. So we're going to get there. We're going to get better at this. And so what we'll be doing is, I don't know, I'll probably put the thing on 20 instead of 2 liters. Anyway, let's just move on. Harry, I've mentioned Harry before in the past. He is a socialist that supposedly has been, and that's not his real name, but he's a high school friend, and he's a socialist that has, you know, supposedly, you know, thought that Trump was, you know, the worst thing about Trump was his tweets and the way he treated women, and there's just no way he was going to vote for him. And I'm going, really? Okay. Well, so Harry, I hope you're listening, and I hope you're starting to get right. I hope you're starting to get your head right and get your life right, because if you don't, then you're going to continue to buy into this movement of enslavement, this communist enslavement movement. Anyway, let us move on because we do have some things that we need to cover on the Need to Know News. But before we do, I promised you I was going to give you the 13 states and their churches and the time frame that they maintain churches. Now, just remember, when Kentucky and Tennessee and some of these other states, Ohio and other states that came into the Union, they actually had state-sponsored churches as well. But we're just talking about the original 13 that created the Constitution and how long they operated this relationship with the church before they dissolved all ties and basically allowed the created a separation on their own accord, not because the federal government mandated it or the Constitution mandates it, because the establishment, the 14th Amendment applies the Bill of Rights to the church, or not to the church, to the states. But it does not tie any organizational protections in the Bill of Rights to the states, only the individual privileges and immunities. So in other words, what I'm telling you is that states can actually still have state-established churches, but and to do those functions of things that they should not be doing. As a matter of fact, the last thing we want is the state to administer education. We don't want because bottom line is when they go secular, they become intolerant towards an open and free doctrine of education. We'll be right back after these two promos. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Okay, so let's start with Virginia. Virginia, their established church was the Anglican Church. And you'll find that many of the states were Anglican, but not all of them. And they were different variations of the Anglican Church is the way they stood it up. So in other words, the Anglican Church was basically the, you know, kind of like the Episcopal Church, and with the Episcopal Church having a tie between Britain and the crown, they started recognizing, well, we have to actually sever our ties to the Episcopal Church as well. Anyway, the Anglican Church was established in 1606, and it went to, in Virginia, it went to 1830. Wow, 1830. So you realize that that's what a good 41 years beyond the signing of the Constitution. New York was the Anglican Church as well. And this is kind of interesting because New York was actually, I believe, a Danish colony until by migration. Now, we invaded the Danish colony and, you know, injected more Anglicans and more Anglicans and more Anglicans and converted it and it took it over through an invasion, kind of like what Mexico and these Latin American countries are doing to America today. And we basically made America, instead of New Amsterdam, we changed that colony to New York and took control. So do not tell me that you can't use political combatants to convert a country. That's exactly what we did to the state of New York, okay? Now, Massachusetts. That was the Congressional Church or the Puritans, which went from New York went from 1614 to 1846. You got that right? Okay. Now, Massachusetts, they were the Congressional Church and Puritans, and 1629 to 1833. Now, the Maryland was the Anglican Church as well, and that was 1632 to 1867. Maryland went beyond the Civil War, where the Bill of Rights, because in 1866, when the 14th Amendment was sent out, that was when, you know, they basically applied the Bill of Rights to the states. So shortly after that, Maryland basically dissolved all of its ties with the church, the Anglican Church. But Delaware went from 1637 to 1792. So Delaware was really one of the first churches. Actually, they were almost the first church to be dissolved. Pennsylvania was the next one. But in Connecticut, it went the Congressional Church. Now, again, Connecticut was an offset, remember, from the Puritans. So they had similar faiths. And they went from 1639 to 1818. New Hampshire, the Congressional Church as well, went from 1639, another offshoot from the Puritans, from 1639 to 1877. 1877. That's 11 years beyond the 14th Amendment. 11. Okay, Rhode Island, non-denominational Christian. That went from 1643 to 1842. South Carolina, the Anglican Church, once again, 1663 to 1868. Went beyond the Civil War as well. North Carolina, Anglican Church, 1663 to 1875. So you can see New Hampshire was the one that held on the longest, and then North Carolina was the next, and then South Carolina, and then Maryland. So we actually had four churches, or four states, that maintained churches past the Civil War. Georgia, Protestant, went from 1663 to 1798. And Pennsylvania, the one that got rid of its church first, or dissolved its ties, kind of because they were non-denominational. That's why they had the Quakers. You know, people thought that, you know, Pennsylvania was a Quaker state, but they were really non-denominational Christian, okay? And that went from 1681 to 1790. This, and so I don't know how the non-denominationals work. Maybe they did it to where the state kind of shared with the different faiths, like the Quakers and the Anglicans and so forth, to where they allowed they gave a little bit of money to each based on apportionment to ensure that they could take care of those who were in need. Because the churches operated, you got to remember back in those days, the churches, other than the Anglican Church, but most Christian faith, even in the Anglican churches, there was still a lot of money that was going into the church by tithes or contributions. I shouldn't say a lot. There was some money going in. And I think most of that was being used for, you know, taking care of the needy and that type of thing. Now, the Congressional churches, these non-Anglican church, those were actually churches where there were no professional ministers. Everybody contributed. It was a layman's church. And so I believe with Pennsylvania, they probably had very similar type of approach too. And New Jersey Protestant, I believe that too was a layman's church until it went kind of evangelical Protestant. But anyway, New Jersey went from 1702 to 1844. So when people tell you that America was to be, you know, free of establishment religion, and so that was the federal government, not the states, because the states had a symbiotic relationship with churches for them to take care of the welfare and the temporal needs of the people. They didn't actually, and this is why we're going to get into the cod fishery bounties to actually support this, because the cod fishery bounties will actually open the door to go, oh my gosh, government was not to be getting involved in administering and handing money to people, because they, that's why they instituted the way they did, to protect the people from government being able to buy votes and buy control. Anyway, now let's get on to some need to know news. Now, G. Edward Griffin basically reported the specter of powerful space weather creating havoc for humans, threatening chaos in the world. And this is all about these solar explosions and solar flares and so forth coming from the sun. And actually, it's on the increase. And he says, threatening chaos in the world that has become ever more reliant on technology since the last big storms hit 17 years ago. Geomagnetic waves unleashed by solar storms can cripple power grids, jam radio communications, bathe airline crews in dangerous levels of radiation, and the people that happen to be on the plane, and knock critical satellites off kilter, in other words, off their path, and actually, you know, cause fatal, you know, damage to those satellites. Solar storms have their roots in a 11-year cycle that shifts the polarity of the sun's magnetic field. The magnetic forces at work on the sun get tangled during the process and can punch out through the surface, sending the sun's plasma into outer space and potentially triggering storms on Earth. Now, I've seen a lot of people just loving Governor Ron DeSantis, who basically has signed and done some things, and people go, you know, he ought to be the next vice president. Now, I'm just, if you don't understand the Constitution, it clearly states, and it still to this day does not allow a vice president and a president to come from and inhabit the same state. Now, currently, I believe Trump has been and is a inhabitant of Florida. So if he's living there, he can't. But let's see how this pans out, because so many people are illiterate regarding the Constitution. There's a good likelihood that Ron DeSantis may actually be asked and go down this path. And then, you know, if this doesn't get cleared up, this could cause a real problem if this is a 2024 run, or even if this lawsuit with the We the People Foundation actually has its, you know, constitutional course fulfilled and Trump actually becomes president this summer, because we do not have a constitutional president, then he can't pick Ron DeSantis. Anyway, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed a historic law as the first state to hold tech companies accountable. Now, Montana is doing this too, and they were working on very similar legislation. Floridians will be able to sue big tech companies that deplatform them. The new law will levy hefty fines, as much as $250. Now, deplatforming them for what? For their political views or what have you. So it's one thing if you violate obscenity laws. I think, you know, child porn. This boggles my mind that Twitter and some of these platforms allow child porn and pornography and these other things, but they do not allow, in other words, talking about Christ and talking about, you know, the sanctity of life and abortion's wrong and those types of things. Well, that is, you know, just that goes too far. But pornography? Come on. What the heck is going on? Anyway, So the new law will levy hefty fines as much as $250,000 a day on social media companies that deplatform political candidates. DeSantis said that social media is a public square and that Silicon Valley has censored public debate. Now, I disagree, but I will give you my disagreement when we're finished with this, okay? So anyway, and when we come back from the break, I didn't realize that was coming around the corner. So I will get into why I disagree with J. Edward Griffin, but that's okay. He's a brilliant man, and I could be wrong. But I'll give you my editorializing after I finish this when we come back from the break. Thank you so much. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so before I give you my two cents, what I'll do is I'll kind of just read through this and give you J. Edward Griffin's two cents. DeSantis said that social media is a public square and that Silicon Valley has censored public debate. And by the way, I don't disagree with J. Edward Griffin on that. That's actually, I disagree with Governor DeSantis. Social media companies have used their power to divide America while claiming to be neutral platforms. DeSantis says that the other states are considering similar legislation. The video is a bit long, but well worth it. And so you need to go watch it so you can see what he just signed into law. Now, I don't believe that this is just a public square. I believe that businesses that want to create these platforms, they have a responsibility to allow the press to move forward and report. Because actually, Facebook is where most people get a lot of their news. Well, what is news and what is, you know, the press? Well, most people think it is an institution, and in most cases it is. But actually, there are independent reporters. Remember Matt Drudge? There are all sorts of people that actually report the news. And so what states have to do, what DeSantis should do in Florida, is he should acknowledge that the people are a part of the press, that when the people report something that they've seen, they're editorializing on something, that is the same thing as the press. It ties the freedom of the press to the freedom of expression. Because when you actually start looking at, you know, what the platform is. The platform, even though it is trying to manipulate and manage the narrative, like most media companies, the platform is literally just the square where, or the page of where you read your news. And so they can actually start fining, just like they're doing, but they can actually be going after these platforms. The states can go after these platforms for silencing and quelling not just the expression, but the freedom of the press and the freedom of reporting, because that is a guaranteed protection. And so when the platforms start deplatforming, they remove you because they don't like what you reported, they don't have the option. It may be their paper, but in America, when you actually hire and you're operating and you have to sell that, but when people come and they're actually participating in it because you've made it an open participatory forum for all the press to be able to openly report and engage in dialogue, unless it is considered obscenities, unless it is, you know, the foul language of expletives and those types of things, I believe that those types of forms of speech can be regulated. But when it comes to political views and those types of things, then absolutely, they have no right to shut that down, because they are a platform and we are the press. If they don't want the press, then they should just shut down their platform and go away and maybe start making clay pots for, you know, vegetable gardens or, you know, wood, you know, raised beds for people to grow their food. Something other than being a tech company and providing a platform for people to speak and come together in reporting. Anyway, that's my two cents. And I think if the states go and define that the press is the people, that any person reporting on an event, reporting on information or editorializing and those types of things, that's the same thing as the press. And so it extends the press to a much broader definition, to where now we can actually go after these tech companies. Anyway, yes, that's right. We want to actually start going broader with the freedom of the press. The Houston Methodist Hospital has 26,000 employees, and 117 of them have filed a lawsuit, according to G. Edward Griffin. And now this lawsuit is against the hospital network for mandating the COVID-19 vaccine as a condition of employment. The lawsuit alleges that the mandate violates both the Nuremberg Code and the U.S. statutes that allow Americans to refuse, quote, unapproved, close quote, medical treatments. It also alleges violations of the Texas labor and employment laws. The plaintiffs allege that the hospital has arbitrarily denied claims for religious or medical exemptions. Now, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission updated its COVID-19 vaccination guideline documents for employers on Friday. The new EEO guidelines basically state, quote, federal EEO laws do not prevent an employer from requiring all employees physically entering the workplace to be vaccinated for COVID-19, so long as employers comply with the reasonable accommodation provisions of the ADA and Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and other EEO considerations. Now, that's interesting. I'm here to tell you that this is going to become a bigger and bigger and bigger issue. It's almost like people that are willing to, you know, bear the name of Christ, you know, that make these choices are going to be harassed and oppressed. They're going to lose their jobs. Really? This is what's happening in America? Now, let's go back to what the constitutional rights are. Employers, just like government, has a right to protect people. Now, if they have a policy that says, if you are sick, you cannot come to work, then I'm okay with that. But they cannot mandate you to get sick, because what they are doing by mandating the vaccinations, they're bringing people that have been exposed to the virus that are actually contagious and actually get other people sick, and they are failing. So this is the countersuit, as far as I'm concerned. By mandating this, they're exposing healthy people to, you know, people that have, you know, could cause harm. So where do you really draw this line? This is where we really need to start going down these paths of saying, you know, employers have a right and a responsibility to protect their workforce. They do not have a right to cause harm. And as a matter of fact, any employer that mandates anything like that and causes harm because an employee is dumb enough to not, you know, do the due diligence and just do what the employer says, and they or their child gets basically damaged with, let's just say, autism. That's a good vaccination problem, that there is some real connections here. And so, and isn't it funny that the bleeding heart leftist Jim Carrey was really on this bandwagon until it kind of started moving to the right? Now, I think he's probably still on. It's funny that we can all find some kind of common ground somehow, somewhere, some way. Anyway, my point is that then these employees should be able to sue for permanent disability for their child that became autistic. They should be able to sue the state, because if they start mandating vaccinations and your child is, you know, one of the few that actually becomes autistic because of the vaccinations. And as a matter of fact, it is my advice that parents wait until the child is old enough, because inoculating and vaccinating a child in its first couple of years, you have no idea if it truly was autistic or not. But you do know that if your child is 4 or 5 years old and they start, and you go, okay, I will vaccinate because I'm kind of on board with that. And then all of a sudden your child has a bad reaction and all of a sudden becomes autistic or has other health problems. Well, now you have really, you've got empirical data and you have the ability, and I believe the footings for a solid disability lawsuit. Let me tell you something. There are more and more kids that are being being raised, but not necessarily born, because I don't think that these kids were born autistic, not all of them. And I do not believe that all of these kids that have had these reactions were born that way either. But bottom line, what do you do with a child that, you know, you're responsible for that's going to outlive you? How do you take care of that child? Well, we just don't care. Well, I can tell you that the intolerant and the heartless communist movement, if things progress down the road, if you can't take care of that child anymore, then they will just basically abort that child in its, 120th trimester or something like that. This is their logic. This is how they think. This is what they did in Germany. Germany euthanized its citizens. It's like it's sick, lame, and, you know, incapable people, because they were the burden. They were eating good food and not contributing to society. The German people actually killed living people first before they went to the Jews. And so don't think that it won't happen. This is exactly, they're using these same playbooks. They're using these exact same paradigms. So don't think that we won't go down this path. Anyway, back to G. Edward Griffin's Need to Know News. Joe Biden's liberal immigration policies that encourage child migration have created a surge at the border. But everybody knows that, right? Actually, I'm almost out of time. So what I'm going to do is we're going to go into this break, and because this is kind of a long story, and we will reread this from the very beginning. That way, you know, I don't have a broken thought in introducing this. So anywho, we will be going into break, as you can hear, and we'll be right back after these two promos with the story on immigration policies and so forth, and child immigration, sex trafficking, all of that. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so this is kind of good because, unfortunately, this has not gotten into the news. But anyway, well, actually, some of it is getting into the news. But there's way too few people that really understand Obama's role in the, you know, the producing of product or the supplying of children into the sex trafficking. Anyway, Joe Biden's liberal immigration policies, and it's really unfortunate that Trump did not do more to disclose all of this and to get this out. Anyway, Joe Biden's liberal immigration policies that encourage child migration have created a surge at the border. Veteran and investigator Dan Holloway found that the U.S. government is transporting children across the U.S., and then they disappear. He said that inviting mass child migration is predatory, and the only explanation is sexual exploitation. HHS currently has a custody of 22,000 children. 6 years ago, the Obama administration was caught placing tens of thousands of migrant children with traffickers, and many became sex slaves. Cartels and smugglers are making $500 million a month. $500 million a month making these sex trafficking migrants or basically selling these kids. So here's the full story, because that was just kind of the headline caption. I actually drilled in to get you the whole story out of G. Edward Griffith's Need to Know News, because I think this is so repugnant, and this is such an indictment on how evil we have become that we must demand that our government comply to the Constitution instead of running rickshaw over, you know, over our morals, over our, you know, finances, everything that they're doing is just wrong, immoral, and destructive. They're trying to destroy our liberties in the wake of this. Anyway, during the Democrat primary debates, then-candidate Joe Biden urged migrants to surge to the U.S. border if he was elected. Biden has caused a crisis at the border as he reversed former President Trump's immigration policies that stemmed the tide of migrants from El Salvador, Honduras, Guatemala, and so forth, Nicaragua, all of those countries down there. The Biden administration is encouraging children to cross the border. 6 years ago, a Senate report showed that the Obama administration was caught placing tens of thousands of migrant children with traffickers, including child sex traffickers. Well, it doesn't matter. As long as they get here, then hopefully they can vote, you know, if they're not being pimped out. I mean, this is just repugnant. What they're doing, and it feeds the evil beast in so many different ways. And that, again, the ends justify the means. And many of the children were used as sex slaves. This program appears to be continuing and growing. Currently, there are over 22,000 children in the custody of the Health and Human Services. And I've actually heard recently reports that they're flying these kids in the middle of the night. Anyway, Dan Holloway, a veteran with a master's degree in Homeland Security, if that's even possible, I don't know what school or, you know, accredited school gives out those degrees. But anyway, it's like social services. And host of the American Party podcast investigated the smuggling of children and revealed that the U.S. military and Customs and Border Patrol are being used to put illegal aliens on corporate planes, then take them into the interior. And I've heard collaborating reports on this. To the interior of our country, like South Dakota, where Governor Noem is allowing this to go on. And this is frustrating the conservative, or I should say, those who know better, and this is not being reported, but anyway, into the interior of our country where they're being handed over to smugglers. Migrants who cross illegally into the U.S. used to be given a court date and then released, but now there is no court date and the U.S. is paying to transport them across the United States. Holloway said that the government uses quote-unquote cutouts that are businesses that act as a front for controversial groups that are given money by the government, which allows politicians plausible deniability if it's discovered. He said that the Biden administration, unless you really cross them or you're conservative and they want to come after you, then they expose you. You see, this is how they own you. This is how the swamp is built. He said the Biden administration is giving money to MVM Inc., a government contractor to transport migrant children. Often the children are not placed with families, but placed in mass care facilities, then sent for COVID screening and given to anybody who will take them. They are never seen again. Alex Jones said that the FBI was ordered by Biden not to do background checks on the people who collect the children. There is no record of where the children have been taken either. I want you to start fathoming what the heck's going on here. I want you to understand that these kids that get into this, because we've talked to Aaron Tilbury of the Jonah Project. I've interviewed him several times. I am telling you that these kids, when they no longer serve their purpose, they do not let them go. It's not like they go off and become citizens. You got to understand that they have information on the players, what these guys do and so forth. They do not want this in the public eye. So what happens to these kids? They get killed. They go away. They, in the Italian sense, they get whacked. And this is so repugnant. I can't tell you how repugnant this truly is. Most of the migrant children are not claimed by families, and Holloway says they are likely used for sexual exploitation or forced labor. Just recently, this past couple of weeks, we heard about a young boy that came up because he was going to be reunited with his mom. And had that reporter not injected herself into this one particular case, that boy could have easily never contacted his mom and could have easily been handed over to traffickers, and he too would have been lost for the rest of his life. And I, you know, it just, the words that I have to say absolutely, you know, will fall short on just how evil and how bad this is, and how sick I am of knowing that these things are happening here in America. Our government is not to be doing the pimping and the supporting of this type of economic trade. The fact that they're making money and they're doing this with government support. Folks, what is it going to take? I mean, you know, I see these people in the abortion groups that, oh, you know, I've got the moral high ground because I'm supporting this, because this is the greatest evil of all. And they turn their back on the, you know, the homosexual marriage and the transgender dystopia and the morphing of our children into transsexuals and LGBTQ plus YZNN. And we see all of these things going on, and everybody's turning their back on all these other problems. We could solve these problems if we united on demanding full compliance of the Constitution. Get the government out of these businesses. They have no constitutional standing. They have no delegated authority by the states to do this. This is why the ratification debates are that powerful. I am telling you, the ratification debates end the argument. You can't do it if it's not enumerated federal government. The media is covering up this problem, and so it is complicit. It has blood on its hands. If you know about this, you too. As a matter of fact, that's what I told the legislators. This is what I'm telling everybody. If you do nothing and you can allow the problem to continue, you are a part of the problem, and you will have blood on your hands. And I am telling you that the day Christ comes and the day that, you know, there is this accounting, will you stand blameless? Will you stand as you've tried to do what you could? Or will you stand as one who actually did nothing, that committed the sins of omission in failing to do what you should have done? Holloway said it is time for people to stand up against destruction of the morals of the United States. Well, that's good. I'm glad he's doing this. Lawmakers from Tennessee became alarmed after Holloway's report that the Biden administration has been flying unoccupied minors into their state into the dead of the night without the knowledge of or permission of the communities where they're being placed. At least four planes carrying children have landed at the Chattanooga airport, according to the local media outlet. Folks, I'm at a loss. I mean, I can usually come up with some kind of words, but this is so dark. And this is only one of the many things that are going on that is a part of the swamp. But this feeds the immorality. They use these kids. They use every evil, deceptive temptation to get people to become compromised so that they can use those things against you. And then they control you, and you dare not come out into the light of day, because if you do, they will expose you. You want to understand why so many Republicans abandoned their positions in Congress was because they knew that they would be exposed if they would have sought a second or another term. Folks, we've got to do this. Republic Review will do this. We need to get you involved. We need to connect you with the NLA. We need to connect you with the Constitution Party. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.